If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. So today I have my very good friend Jason Pitts with me, but I also have Anastasia Elfman with me. I interviewed her a couple of months back for Bloody Bridget. So let's go ahead. Let's welcome her back to the show, and let's do this, guys. And hey, everyone, welcome back.
Hi. Thank you, Dylan.
You're very welcome. So with this episode, episode 3, The Backseat Passenger, we already know that Dexter's already mad because he didn't get his name copyrighted. Because he actually has a dark passenger and he didn't like the fact that the serial killer winded up taking on that persona. But what did you guys think about him being an Uber driver and him going through New York City and trying to learn what it is to be an Uber driver?
I'll take it, I guess, first. Hi. Yeah. So happy to be back. Thank you. And what did I think about Dexter becoming a quote unquote Uber driver? I thought that was very interesting and very committed to the kill. He's going full method.
Definitely. What about for you, Jason?
Yeah, man, I agree. He used himself as bait, but it's also a good way to like get a layout of the city, and also like he actually makes a point. I think it might have been in the last episode that it's a good alibi too. Just like, hey, I'm an Uber driver. I'm driving around. Well, you know, who are you with? He's like, I don't know. I just picked somebody up. You know, I think it's a good alibi that he can fall back on if he needs to as well. So yeah, I thought it was a cool plot device of him being the Uber driver.
I love the dark humor with this though too, because I like the fact that this other Uber driver is trying to teach him. He goes, well, I got a 4.5 out of 5. That's not really that bad. He goes, are you done driving? He goes, yeah, well, I'm going to have to teach you what's going on here, first of all, because that's not a good score. So I like how he's trying to learn his way into the New York lifestyle and trying to teach him what to be an Uber driver. And then you also have Harrison, who's also now being a suspect in the hotel. And I like how we already talked about this, Jason, though, where you actually have the detective who's wearing the headphones and does the Staying Alive song, and she's getting reeling into her detective mode and stuff like that. But I like how she's questioning him and he doesn't even have an alibi. He doesn't know exactly what to say or anything like that. He never killed anybody before besides his own dad. But still, even then, he's pretty much like a fish out of water with this. And, you know, he doesn't know how to dispose of a body very well. He also is a primary passion because of the fact that, you know, he rescued somebody from being raped. And then you have them questioning him. And I just thought the way that they questioned him was very, very good. And then him looking all nervous, he goes, oh, crap. Well, I had a one night stand with somebody. Well, what's her name? Julie. Julie's her name. So he doesn't quite know how to actually lawyer up or anything. He's never been questioned before, but I definitely like the fact that, you know, Harrison is just this charismatic character that he is. What about for you guys?
Yeah, I like Harrison a lot. He's definitely in over his head, but I think he did a pretty good job of staying as cool as he possibly could be in that situation. And one of the, like, he had to throw her off, and so he confessed that the one night stand thing and going to the club, like that was a lie, but he fell back on something that was the truth to try to throw her off, is that he is homeless. He has been living in the hotel. I think that was really cool way to do it, because like when you, he's basically hiding a lie in a truth. So I think there's a lot of layers there that is pretty cool. Yeah.
What about for you, Anastasia?
Yeah. Well, okay. So I'm going to be the odd man out, I guess, or odd lady out. I don't love the character of Harrison as son. Nothing against the actor. I don't know. I feel like all of that's kind of unnecessary. I just like wish that he could just go back into being a blood analyst, because I missed that component on Dexter. But it's kind of fun that we get like little kind of throwbacks to him, you know, analyzing scenes, especially when we saw him go in and figure out Harrison's whole thing, which I thought he did a really good job, like covering up his tracks and everything for no like formal training.
Right, exactly. And I agree with you on that, though, too, Anastasia, where I wish that they would go back to the old school Dexter thing of him going and working in forensics, because Batista did resurrect him to be able to have a lifestyle again.
Okay. This is my like view is like, how many times does Dexter Morgan need to be accused, like full on accused of being the Bay Harbor Butcher before somebody puts 2 and 7 together and figures out that it's him, you know?
Right.
But luckily for us, the fans, at least one more time.
Right, exactly. It's always one more chance.
I want him to always get away with it.
Same here, because I think that, here's the thing. I think it would be cool if Batista does figure it out, because it'll be someone that Dexter is loyal to.
And especially when he's going to have to go.
Well, also too, if you remember on Dexter Original Sin, Batista and him were very close and he felt like Dexter was very loyal to him. So to find out that he was the Bay Harbor Butcher all this time and Doak's accusing him, then LaGreta's accusing him and stuff like that. And
surprise, motherfucker.
Exactly.
Or okay, side point, I would love for like Showtime, and I guess like Paramount Plus is now like involved with Dexter. I would love for somebody to come up with a Dexter Morgan fashion line. Like, could you see those like shirts and the like kind of those funny like pocket pants that guys wear? And I would love to name it like a creep motherfucker. Like, wouldn't that be a great line?
Yeah,
like,
that would be cool.
I would buy those clothes and I would wear that and like do like watch parties. Like there used to, when Twin Peaks was the return came out, there used to be all of these like screening watch parties. It would be fun to dress up like Morgan.
That would be cool though, like what a cosplay thing. Yeah.
Okay, so if anybody needs some like creative director ideas, I have a whole bunch of them. So come on, Showtime, hire me. Right? I know. Right. I would have worn it today, but I went with RoboCop, adjacent. We've got a serial killer, and then we've got a robot.
There you go. But I love the RoboCop shirt.
Thank you. Me
You're
too.
Very welcome.
Me too. But yeah, so fun, the episode. I mean, it kind of like, I guess, maybe I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but the stuff with like being invited to dinner, like going to take its place or whatever, it kind of feels like almost like an Avengers, like if I feel like all of the superheroes, the super killers are going to meet up, and I'm a little nervous because it just seems like such a departure from how intimate the first Dexter series was with like the murders and everything like that, and now he's
right, always
like,
got that one killer
friends
right.
with killers,
right? Because it's kind of weird.
So against him because he has such a code of ethics.
I definitely agree, but you know what though? You're absolutely right though, in a sense, because I'm like, how does this play into Dexter? Because we're always used to Dexter having the one killer to kill during every season. This is several killers in a room together eating dinner like it's Hannibal Lecter being invited for dinner. And I'm like, is this like a whodunit? Because I already saw that with Joel Goldberg. I don't want to have a whodunit serial killer kind of vibe to it or anything. So it's just about the delivery on how they approach it. I'll be sold on it. But and I also find it funny that Dexter takes the identity of a serial killer, that it's a vegan, and it's going to be interesting on how he, if he has to play a vegan at a dinner table and everybody else is eating meat, and he's not, and he's taking the persona of another serial killer. So I think it's just like that dark humor for me that that I can't wait to see how that lands.
Hey, I feel like that when they realize that he's not who they invited, he'll be in trouble.
I don't know. I think that Peter Dinklage would be like, you know, I got the Bay Harbor Butcher over here, supposedly. And he's probably the better serial killers out of the other serial killers that he has. So yeah, I think that it'll be a step up.
How quick do you think they're going to realize that he's the Bay Harbor Butcher? Like, he's not going to tell them.
No, but something's going to
happen. Immediately. He's going to walk in.
Yeah, no.
No. But something's going to happen with that body part that he has, with that disposable thumb thing that he has to have that thumb with him at all times. Something's going to happen where he's going to get exposed.
Absolutely.
So
I also feel like that this could be a way to give him a list of names and targets to go, like, depending on how long they want this Resurrection series to go, like each season could be another name on the list that he goes after.
It'll be like a serial killer for hire kind of thing.
Yeah.
Would be interesting. Yeah, I'm not sure where they're going to take this story. I mean, like what you were talking about with the thumb, I could see the thumb accidentally falling out on like a plate of food or something. I mean, obviously it's going to be a big like cat and mouse game. There's so many different subplots happening, which I feel like it's a little... I feel like I don't like, okay, for me, for like an OG fan, I don't really need all of like this Peter Dinklage, all of this stuff. I don't need the son stuff. I would like just to have like Morgan and his dad, you know, like just, you know, doing these revenge kills. I love that. But I don't know. I mean, beggars can't be choosers, right? Because I feel so lucky that Michael C. Hall is reprising Dexter and that we're getting this a whole new season. It's so fun to dip back down into that universe. So I'm just going to see how it works out.
Right. I agree, though, with you on that one, too, though. I was like, I feel like the stuff with Harrison, he needs to go on ahead and make a move at saying, hey, son, I've been watching you. You've been making mistakes. And let's go on ahead. Let's go full throttle after that. Because I feel like them focusing on Harrison, them focusing on Dexter slowing down the series a little bit for me.
It really does for me too. I mean, also it's like all of these people are great actors. I just mean as like on a writer's standpoint and for me as the fan, because also we're watching this different. It's like, well, I guess they're releasing them. Sometimes I binge the first couple. Did they release them together? I don't know.
They released the first two together and then the third one's by itself.
So it's like you can see as a fan watching things back to back, you can see like the little minor flaws. But again, I love the series, so I'm going to allow it. But this is just like if I were to write it, I would kind of make a clearer, more focused story just on that, you know, just on Dexter stuff, because he's so, the character is so rich and complex, and I don't feel like I'm not tired of Dexter. I don't know about either. You guys.
No, otherwise I wouldn't be doing this. I'd talk about Dexter, Original Sin. But here's the thing: I think that it needs to. They need to stop the subplots and set and have Dexter have that confrontation with Harrison because it slows it down. And then once you have that confrontation between the two of them, then you go into the whole entire dinner thing with the serial killer party and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the new detective, the female new detective, and then the manager at the hotel, I feel like, and this is nothing against the actors, but I feel like I'm almost watching a soap opera or an opera. I feel like they're mugging a lot. Like, they're very character-driven. Yeah.
Right. I actually said this to Jason on the last episode. It feels like Boondock Saints. This is what I said to Jason on like the last episode. It felt like very Boondock Saints because William Dafoe is doing the, remember whenever in the first Boondock Saints, he's very flamboyant. He's over there doing the whole entire thing, listening to his headphones and, you know, orchestrating the whole entire detective thing, just as how she's also orchestrating this thing by doing Stay Alive. By the Bee Gees. So that's how I feel like with her. And I understand it's good. They're going for like a comedic thing kind of thing with some dark humor. It doesn't land for me like they want it to. Because she does it again. And I don't want it to be the same schnick that we've seen in the first and second episode. I want them to do away with the headphones soon. You know, otherwise it feels too over the top.
Yeah. She's very over the top, but she is, I think she's fun to watch, but she is a little one dimensional where it's just, you know, like Anna was saying, almost a caricature, not like she doesn't feel like a real person, just like a very exaggerated stereotype kind of.
It kind of turns the show into like a drama. Right,
the hotel manager feels the exact same way.
Mm-hmm. The hotel manager is like very bad at his job.
Yeah.
He's like, well, what happens?
Yeah, it's like one tone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, tone, I wish that they would have more of an arc with those. And it's not, I don't take it as the actor's fault.
It's just the way it's layered out and the way it's written is the way it's issue. Written, yeah.
Man, we talked about in the last episode how I felt like that he was going to kill the dark passenger either in the next episode or the next episode before that. I freaking called it. and then they were going to move into the story with like Peter Dinklage and I'm digging it so far. Like Anna said, there's like little things here and there with the other side characters. I also feel like that the side plot with Harrison is taking a little bit too long. And I actually mentioned that last time too. I was like, his sole purpose for getting better and getting out of the hospital getting around Batista was to go be there for his son. And then he gets there and he chickens out. That's not like Dexter.
Right. Even Harry's like, what are you doing? He goes, well, he's got a date. That's not a reason not to be there for your son, Dex. You need to go on ahead and check on him.
Yeah. I hate all of that.
Me too.
But I do get it. I mean, you got to create the tension and stretch it out. For a story and a character development, it doesn't work for me. That part of the series doesn't work for me. Stretching that confrontation with Harrison out, I don't like it. But everything else, I'm digging. I like the Batista aspect. I feel like he definitely knows, and it's just a matter of proving it.
Right.
But
I definitely liked seeing how cold it is in New York. And then we get into Miami, and you know, you have the Suka back, you have Joe back in there. It feels like Dexter for a moment.
And I even think that they changed the color palette. Like it was a little bit more orange in the
Miami. It was a little bit more orangey in the other seasons of Dexter. Yeah. This one captures more of the vibe of Miami in the wintertime a little bit. Mm-hmm. So you have that little wintery kind of vibe to it that they're trying to set up. For this, but I definitely like how Batista's like, well, you guys will know whenever the time comes. So he already knows that Dexter is the Bay Harbor Butcher, but he also wants to take Dexter in and have that confession. And it seems like he's like working as a PI versus because he's also now going to be retired.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that detective that never left work. You're retired, but you're still going to go to work and work as a PI and try to investigate this whole thing with Dexter.
Yeah, still working the case. That one case that you can't shake.
What about for you, Anastasia? Does the stuff in Miami work for you? What did you think of it? Because I know I was geeking out when I saw Masuka and Joe and stuff.
I mean, it's always like a chef's kiss because I want all of those. Because those are some of the subplots that really worked for me in the original. All of those characters, those actors are so on point. And I mean, I love going through the series just to see who's going to pop up. It's so fun for me. Exactly. So yeah, it works for me. And I love Quinn, and I loved that actor. He was like in Ghost Ship, which he did a crazy great Ghost job. Isn't it a wonderful film? Nobody talks about it, but it's killer. I love that film.
Yes. The opening scene of the Ghost Ship is one of the iconic horror movies that I've seen in a while that I really like.
Yes, yes. And the ending is so good. I want a sequel. Let's get a sequel going.
You and I, we're going to set up a thing online later on. We'll try and get that worked out.
Yes, perfect. Let's right. deep dive Ghost Ship.
Okay, hey, we'll do it. We'll do it.
Yay!
But let's see here. I'm trying to think. Because we talked about the stuff about Joey Quinn. We talked about Masuka. The joking around with them was one of my favorite things, though, too. Because, yeah, that was a really good idea. Like that stripper that you said that was a good idea. And then... But then we also get into this thing with the detective once again, dismembering the body, finding out how Harrison disposes the body and putting pieces together, even though we're the witnesses to it. But as we're witnessing this, we're also witnessing her putting the pieces together. And what did you guys think about that? I mean, about the whole entire thing. I know we talked about it a little bit, but I was just wondering if there's anything else that you wanted to talk about as far as that goes.
The only thing for that I have that we haven't already talked about is I liked it on the one level that she would have caught him if Dexter had gotten there first and saw the blood on the ceiling like that. She would have seen that. And so it was good to show us that she would have found it if he hadn't have saved Harrison there. So I thought that was cool and well done.
I agree, because that's what Dexter was saying, because even whenever you see the Cleaver go up with the detective, and I like how it's doing the beat to that song for Staying Alive. As everybody's working, they're going with the beat of it, and it's very in sync. But you could also see where the ceiling tile is at and how Dexter cleaned it. If he didn't, it would have actually been that blood splatter up there.
Yeah.
But as far as, let's see, with Harrison and stuff, we talked about how that pacing was. Okay, what did you think about him getting Dexter getting acupunctures and stuff?
That was weird for me.
What about for you, Anastasia? Like, where he's down in the basement and the daughter of the other Uber driver. It's okay. It's actually the part where the Uber driver's daughter is giving him the acupunctures. He's hurting, and then he asks his dad, does it hurt? How does it feel being old? He goes, well, I never did old for a while, remember? So you have a little comedic thing back and forth, but still, I wish that they would have actually done a lot more with other things besides wasting our time with certain parts.
I don't really understand the point of that scene other than just, I don't know. But I do like that it kind of, it does go with Dexter's personality, because he is open to trying new things. Like he always has been. He kind of just goes with the flow with whatever anyone is around him other, you know, than the killing stuff. But yeah, he's always just been like, oh, okay, Deb, let's do this or whatever. I guess we're doing this now. That's fine. So like the acupuncture thing, on one level, it was weird for me, but on another level, he is open. He's always been open to new, just trying new things. So it kind of worked on that level, but it was a weird scene for me. Well, we lost.
But I also liked, and it will probably be back in a minute. She probably has a reboot or something. But the other thing I have to say that I enjoyed as well with this is, you know, the part where he actually gets his thing for the shots, you know, yeah. And now he goes, well, welcome back, doctor. Yeah. And so now he's actually getting the stuff to actually knock out the backseat passenger. I liked how the backseat passenger is over there trying to threaten Dexter. Dexter actually drops the syringe because another driver thought that that they were his driver, and it turned out it wasn't. And then he winds up having that confrontation. So I liked that conversation between, well, what does your son think of what you're doing and stuff? Because to be honest with you, my son, don't really have a close relationship with my son. There we go.
Hey, I'm back. Sorry, I'm gonna try on my phone. Does this work for you guys?
Yes, it's okay, working good.
It might be better.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay. It's working great. No, it's perfectly fine. Stuff like this happens on lives. I can actually fix whatever it is in the audio and stuff. So I'm doctoring it up. Okay. So we were just talking about the confrontation in the cab with the backseat passenger and about how Dexter is talking to the killer, and he's like, the killer's telling him, well, how does it feel to be killed? What would your son say about what you're doing? And what do you think? He goes, to be honest with you, I'm jumping back and forth a little bit, but there's a part where the Uber driver that's actually trained Dexter on what to do it and stuff as well. And he's like, oh, all my photos got burnt up. I'm like, why couldn't you just say my son and I just don't have that good of a relationship, and therefore I don't have that. I don't have that many pictures of him. I mean, that could have been better than my house burnt up, because next thing you know, Batista's going to come over there and he's going to ruin that whole entire thing. It's like, but that's just my little 2 cents. But what do you guys think about the confrontation? Any of the other stuff I mentioned?
Yeah, I thought it was funny when Dexter was like talking about in his car with the dark passenger. The dark passenger was like, "What the fuck does that mean?" And I thought that was hilarious because I was like, "Yeah," like I literally started laughing. I was like, "Yeah, what are you talking about, Dexter? This is like so like I get it as a fan, but like he's not gonna get it."
And he's like, okay, a serial killer with no personality. Got it. That doesn't have no sense of humor.
Yeah, so. I found that really funny, actually.
And then he's over there just taking the thing and just trying to slice his throat with it. And then you realize that he has that little slice of metal around his neck to actually help him.
That was awesome.
Well, I mean, very foreshadowed when he was, because I was watching him when he was in the car and he dropped his syringe, and I was like, why is he so stiff?
Yeah,
you know, like he's acting like he like hurt his neck. What's going on? And also it was like I was kind of like, okay, so he's wearing a tank top. They're foreshadowing to like that aluminum siding or whatever that, I don't know, I'm not a construction person, so whatever that stuff is, I'm like, okay, they're trying to spoon feed us. I get it. Before it was even, you know, a thing.
Right. Because it was even whenever the Uber driver that was training him was actually using it on his house. So Dexter kind of figured it out. I'm like, okay, well, I'll just put this around my neck. And when he tries to go on ahead and try to kill me, I'll just use that. But I thought the kill was pretty interesting. Him getting the money from the serial killer dinner invitation and stuff like that was pretty good. But yeah, overall the episode was okay, not the greatest, but I thought the first two episodes were the best right now. But that's just how I feel. But like you said though, Anastasia, it's no disrespect to the actors or actresses playing these roles, it's just the writing in itself that just doesn't land for me. But as far as their acting goes, they're doing good. They're doing what the script is telling them to do.
Yeah. And again, it's like, as a fan, I'm going through stuff with like a fine tooth comb. It's like how I would like to see it, just because I've had, you know, it's like us fans, we've had so much time with this character and know how we would love to see it executed. So I'm a little bit more harsher with my critiques. But again, I'm so happy and thankful to be in this universe again. You know, because it's like you rewatch, I just kind of rewatched the whole original Dexter series. And it's like, I always want something more, wow. You know, I want something right. New. So it's so great. And I find Michael C. Hall, he is like one of our greatest living actors. I love him so much. He has so much depth and nuanced. He's so brilliant in my book. I just think it's great that he's totally, you know, that he loves this character, Dexter, as well, and that he's willing to reprise it over and over again. We're so lucky as fans that he shares all of his talents.
Right.
You know, because a lot of actors, I mean, I don't find it as my, because I'm an actor too, I would love to go back and reprise roles, but there's some actors that feel kind of pigeonholed and they don't want to redo them. And so I feel that we're so lucky, you know, that he's going
to. I do too. I feel like, right, because I feel like too that we're lucky as fans to be able to say, hey, look, I have a little bit more extra in me to be able to bring out Dexter and have more layers to him than what we had in the other Dexter series and stuff like that. And maybe I'm not satisfied with the way that they sent me off. So therefore I want to try to capture the send off that Dexter properly deserves. So that's also another key thing too, I think. But, you know, I just like too how, and I actually interviewed the cameraman from Dexter. And wow. Yeah, I did this about maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I ended up interviewing Eric Fletcher. And him and Eric would actually have conversations about how the kill room should look, the movements around it. So I like an actor that is self-aware of where things should go and how it should be layered out. And given the cameraman certain key elements on what to work with. So that's something I really like with Michael Z. Hall when it comes down to his layering as an actor, but not only his layering, but also to his whole direction of where he thinks that the character should go.
Yeah, he obviously loves this character to put in so much work and fine tune it. And, you know, he's brilliant and he has this character so much. I mean, every movement, you know, and he's such a hands actor. I love how he uses, you know, it's like when he was doing this move, I'm very into like pantomime and I'm a dancer as well. So I love seeing that when an actor totally embraces, you know, the physicality and choices. And also like when I was watching, because I watched that the episode that we're talking about again, and seeing him in his car with that restraint, I was like, oh gosh, he's so good. Like, because he's totally foreshadowing that moment for us that we don't know yet, but that, you know, that he's like,
it's like he's very stiff and he can't move his neck down to pick up the syringe.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
But it also it's also too, like, given the serial killer control, because he's a serial killer himself. So he's given the serial killer as if he's in control of the whole situation.
All sense of control.
Right.
Yes, which is very important, right?
Yeah.
Right. So with him trying to get the syringe, the killer's like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, he's like dragging out. He's like, okay, how do I get this? How do I get this? I guess I'll just talk about my son.
And just try to stall him as much as I can.
Relationship, yeah. He's like, I'm Dexter.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. I love that. Hilarious.
And I'm the only one that can use the dark passenger.
Yeah, he's a little protective over that. I like
absolutely
that.
Absolutely.
Me too. He's very salty to the guy. Like, this is like the...
It's almost like an older sibling. Like, hey, that's mine. You're not allowed to use my shirt.
It brings up an interesting point that I've kind of thought about. If the serial killer comes along but isn't using that that name, does Dexter change his focus from his son to the serial killer like he did? Because he came to New York for his son, but then he hears about the serial killer using his name, and then his focus completely changes to the serial killer, because like I feel like it's largely part because he's using his name.
Right, but also too, if you think about it though, remember the Trinity Killer thing during Thanksgiving? That's all he was fixated on. That's another example. And the whole thing was with the Trinity Killer, he was only after him. He didn't care about Thanksgiving dinner with his wife, with his coworkers or anything. He kept on making a billion excuses as to why he needs to leave and to get the Trinity. Just as with this, it's like, I need to go on ahead and take down this serial killer that has my name, because that's all I'm going to be fixated on. I can worry about my son later, but I need to be fixated on this right now, not my son. It's like those little moments of him needs to be the one that takes down a certain killer, like he's working forensics again.
Yeah, I think he definitely would have gone after the Dark Passenger serial killer either way, even if that wasn't his name, just because out of like his code of ethics, like once he finds like somebody who's doing a wrong and it's not justified, then that like that doesn't sit right with him. And it's like an urge. He has to go, you know, fill that need for him, because this is the problem that he has, you know, his entire life, right? Yeah. That he has to go kill, and it's these urges, and so he's trying to use them for positive, you know, for good deeds in a way, you know, these righteous kills, let's say.
Right.
So yeah, I think it wouldn't matter who he heard about. But I think that he's a little bit more motivated because now he's just getting back into it. This is his first kind of outing since he came out of a coma, right? So he's like kind of like fighting for his life. He's trying to run away from his past. And he's just getting settled into a new city. And so, yeah, definitely he would. And it's just, we're just lucky that it was somebody using his name because there's a little bit more drama underlined.
That's so funny. Yeah, just like an extra level of pissing him off.
Yeah, which I think is fun. And I love the banter between him and his dad because I love that actor. I thought that was great on the first series, you know, and I love that we get these old characters that quote unquote died when they find a way to come back, you know, as imagination.
Right. Even with Deb coming back in New Blood as well with her, with the wood chipper and stuff like that, and mentioning everybody that he killed and putting the arms in the wood chipper and Dexter New Blood. And then with this, the dark humor between Harry and him is always great. I love the banter between them too. Even seeing the Trinity Killer and Dose come back in that ghost-like coma state was actually pretty cool too.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the only little quib is like, I wish that it wasn't so goofy. Like, they're really hamming it up, with the goofiness with the dad. And I wish it was more like, you know, meaningful. But I guess they're like, we've already done that. You know, we've got to try something. Let's do a new stick.
Right. It's like, okay, well, we already played those beats before. Everybody knows what this character is and who he is, so we don't need to really take it that seriously like before. But I feel like they do need to tone it down and have that little bit of seriousness with Dexter, even though Harry is being serious about his son's situation. So that's one thing that I have to say, that Harry's trying to guide Dexter, but it's not going anywhere.
I hope that we get like another flashback. I loved it when they did a flashback of Dex and Deb as like teenagers, and I want him to do another flashback of himself as a teenager but played by himself with like longer hair. Right. Wouldn't that be fun to have a new one? I love that.
Yes, I would like so a ridiculous. New flashback.
But I love
reflect back on him as a teen. Right.
Yeah, I love that.
But yeah, all in all, good episode, okay episode, but you know, I'm still going to check this out. I'm still excited about Dexter. One episode is not going to slow me down from not enjoying the rest of it. So, with that being said...
I think I liked it more than you. I mean, it wasn't as good as the first two episodes, but I still liked it quite a bit. Yeah.
Right. What about for you, Anastasia?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just so happy to be here, you know, like, with the series. So, I'm kind of just, like, I feel like I'm going to Disneyland every time. So I'm so happy. But yeah, I mean, obviously, I feel like in every series, there's like filler episodes or filler scenes where they're just trying to get the story or like just trying to get it going. But yeah, I mean, for the first two, it's kind of like we were just like kicked into this new world for him being alive and, you know, him creating this new life. Now we're kind of used to the new version of Dexter. And so now we're just waiting to see what is going on with these other serial killers. And I hope he's going to bring enough syringes because he's going to be like Spider-Man shooting all of these.
Just throwing syringes at people.
Exactly. They're not going to know what hit them because, you know, I fully believe in his powers, his villain powers.
I could just see him like at night during this whole entire thing with him staying in that mansion. He's just going to syringe everybody while they're sleeping.
Yeah. I imagine him showing up. Like, have you seen Death Becomes Her? Like, yeah, Lily Bond, when she's like movie. Staking and she's got her little beret and then she's like doing her like covert ops. I imagine like Dexter doing that, like, you know, getting the lay of the land before he goes and visits. And then we've got like Peter Dinklage watching him on like the surveillance camera. Like, what the heck
is this guy doing?
What's right. the dark passenger doing? You know what I mean? Yeah. They don't know. They don't know it's the big hermit butcher. Nobody does.
But yeah, guys, if you guys anyone that's watching right now, what's your favorite scenes in Dexter, in this episode of Dexter, or the last two episodes of Dexter, or the rest of the series? Tell me what you guys think. Also, too, Jason, do you have anything coming out as far as what you want to pitch to the audience or anything?
Just that my movie's still out on Amazon Prime, The Forest Through the Trees. Check it out. Demon cult movie. A lot of fun.
It was definitely a great movie. Yeah. Definitely recommend it. But Anastasia, anything else that you want to mention as well as far as your anything that you have coming out?
Okay, yes, but real quick, about Michael C. Hall, you guys know that he's like in a band, right?
Yeah.
Princess Go? Ghost? Incredible. Incredible. And then that they like featured one of the songs and like one of the Dexters as well. I think like Ketamine or something like that.
Yeah, Ketamine. Yep.
Yeah. That's how I discovered them. Fans of the band? Do you guys have a favorite
song? I am.
Song? Yeah. What's your favorite song? Do you have one?
Ketamine right now, of Ketamine, to be honest with you. Like that song, I actually have it on my playlist. I would listen to that like almost every morning just going through, because it's just one of those songs that is so deep, and the emotional aspect of that song with Michael C. Hall singing it, it's a perfect song for Dexter. I'm just gonna say it.
Yeah, it was so good. I love his band's Eden Eraser. Have you heard that one? I've been playing that one like nonstop and like coming up with like different dances and stuff. I love it so much. And then, okay, also I wanted to mention, I don't know if you guys know, but he does a great narration of Stephen King's Pet Sematary on Audible. And if you have not listened, you should check it out. It's insane. He does all of the voices.
Wow.
You know, even the kids' voices, and it's so wonderful. So go check it out.
You have me at Michael C. Hall and Stephen King, because yes. I'm a huge Stephen King fan.
He's done a couple. I think he did something on his like Graveyard Shift, so I have to check that one out. But I've just been listening because I love Pet Sematary. I love the novel.
It's one of my favorites.
Too.
What? Yeah, I love Pet Sematary. It's one of my favorites by Stephen King.
Mine too. I mean, it might be shadowed because I love listening to Michael C. Hall narrate, because he's so good, such a nuanced performer. But I love the novel, and I feel like from reading the novel to watching the film, so many important plot points were just like scattered to the wind.
You're talking about the original film?
Yeah. Well, yeah obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the prequel and the remake one, like totally crazy.
Yeah.
Like, where's Norma? She's like she's a big character. Like, where is she?
Yeah.
They kind of sideswiped her.
In the
Wendigo, I mean?
There's like almost no mention of the Wendigo. It's insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't get me started. I love Pet Sematary. I just wanted to mention for any Michael C. Hall fans that he is so good. And one day I want to write a script where he plays the lead character in a new film. So I want to do that. He's so that character. I mean, in a really great way. He embodies that character so much. I love it.
I do too. But yeah, we're gonna have to do a deep dive on Ghost Ship, Anastasia, you and I. And
please,
also,
don't threaten me with a fun time. I love that.
I'm gonna have just as fun as you.
He's only done a couple of films. We gotta get him creating again. Like, we need these great creators to keep on going.
Exactly. If we can actually do this review and have a resurgence for him, that'd be great.
That's what I'm trying to do with, like, I don't know if you know the film Monkey Bones. I've been doing a lot of different, like, interviews about Henry Selick's Monkey Bone. My sister-in-law, Bridget Fonda, stars in it with Brendan Fraser. And I'm, like, trying to get a re-release of it. Like, we need a 4K. I want more, I want more interviews. I want all of this stuff. I'm, like, trying to, like, use my, like, crazy Monster Kid powers, like fandom powers, to get these things going. I'm actually, like, I was talking to one of the crew members who's friends with like Henry Selick, and I'm like, let's put something together. So yes for Ghost Ship. Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. We'll work something out soon, I promise you.
Okay, super fun.
This was totally fun.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you. I do appreciate you, Anastasia. If you want to come back for next Sunday or whatever, too, you're more than welcome to.
Oh, my God. I would love to. And it's so nice meeting you, Jason.
Brother, it's nice meeting you, too, Anastasia.
This was so fun.
Very fun, yes.
But, guys, I'll have comedian Josh Prey on next month. We're going to be doing the Naked Gun review for the remake of it. Then he'll be back again with another topic that we're going to be talking about. Rossi and I are going to be talking about that, about who asked for this, like who asked for different sequels, who asked for different things like that. So it's going to be a fun time just asking us who asked for this. Then I have Doom Generation coming on for Doom Generation podcast. They're going to be coming back on the 20th, I believe, of August. We're going to be doing Airborne. We're going to be talking about the 90s Airborne movie. So go on and check that out whenever we go on ahead and release that. So, yeah, that's everything here at Movie Lovers Tonight. Jason, thank you for joining me. I do appreciate it. Anastasia, thank you so much. And you know what? You can just be a continual guest for this Dexter Resurrection. How about that? Okay. All right, guys. Well, we're going to be out. Have a great and safe afternoon. And we'll catch you guys on the next one. Later, guys.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.